Hey, everybody, coming up on Fire Moment, we're going to continue to talk about faith. We're talking about the power of agreement and really how that comes together with your faith. It's powerful to really understand your total trust and what your total trust, your faith in God will bring forth in your life, what it releases to you in your life. You don't want to miss any of today's program and all that it has to offer. This series on faith is going to take you to a higher height, a greater place, and the deeper things of God. So stay tuned today for Fire Moment.
From Uniontown, Pennsylvania, it's Fire Moments with Pastor Adam Lawson. Get your Bible ready, get your notebook ready, and get your heart ready to receive the Word of God. We pray that the fire of God would consume your life as you hear the anointed Word of God. And now, Pastor Adam.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Fire Moment. I'm Pastor Adam. Thanks for being here on the program today. I just believe that today you'll continue to build your knowledge, and if nothing else, that you'll be encouraged, because we've been talking over the last few weeks about faith, building our faith. As the Bible says, if we're not growing in faith, then we're decreasing in faith. And so I believe that this will help you today as we take a slight turn with the teaching. Before we do, I want to, as always, try to take a moment just to encourage you to connect with us and really just communicate to us. And, you know, we may never get to meet you in person, but we can certainly pray for you. We love to hear from you. And the best place to do that is by stopping by the website at freshfirechurch.net. For some of you, I know you say, I'm not an internet person, and some of you don't choose or desire to be. And we still can hear from you simply by you mailing us a note, sending us a little something that, let us know how the programs minister to you. And you can also sow and give by mailing that instead of doing it online. So you can do either. Stop by at freshfirechurch.net or always mail to us, and the information there is at the bottom of your screen. Post Office Box 207, Briar Hill, Pennsylvania, 15415. And on the website, you'll find lots of things that I know will be a blessing to you, help you, and minister to you, and resources, connections to all of our social media sites as well. Follow us on Instagram, on Twitter, Facebook, Periscope, all of these things. And so Periscope's a nice little app. It allows me to do live, brief videos, and you get to interact. You can comment and talk to me directly while I'm broadcasting live. And sometimes it's just a small video right from my office, or from time to time I'll do it while I'm in the car or something. So, but it allows you to interact with us and comment, ask a question right there on the spot. So it's a really cool app, and many others. So if you go to the website, you'll find links to all of those things and so much more. So we've been talking about faith. This is a time and an hour where we really find it being our faith being challenged, our faith being hopefully growing based on everything that's going on. And so I want to just encourage you that you and I are going to a place that I believe God wants you and I to get to, a place of somewhat crazy faith, that we get to a place where we can believe God for whatever it is that we have need of, because faith takes it by force. That's important for you and I to know, that when you have a need, whether it's physical or financial or whatever, something going on in your job, when you have faith, faith takes it by force. I don't sit and just wait on the enemy to return to me my joy. I'm not going to sit and wait for the enemy to restore my family. I'm not going to sit and be patient and think that he's ever going to give anything back. But really, if you and I understand faith, it takes the answer by force. It takes the need back by force. It possesses things. Faith possesses, hallelujah. So when God sees that kind of faith, when God begins to see that kind of faith within us, that title deed, heaven will impart whatever that title deed was for. And so, hallelujah. So you got to know that our faith will bring it back to pass. It will call those things that are not as though they were. It'll bring it into our existing. So it's time that we understand, and when we step up and we stand up and be and do what God has called us to be. You know, I've often said that we'll have a Red Sea in front of us and a Pharaoh behind us, and your faith will determine what happens with Pharaoh, and your faith will determine what happens with that Red Sea. Will you, the Red Sea, will that obstacle in front of you, will it part? Will you begin to step out on what used to be something that could overcome you? Will you step out into that and watch your enemy be overtaken? Or will you allow both of those things to begin to overcome you and overtake you? Because I believe that when we look at that story of the Red Sea and a Pharaoh behind us, that it represents our walk of division, holding you to your past and from your future. That's where many of you are right now, where you're in a situation where you're being held from you're holding on to your past, but you're also being held from your future. That you're in this cycle, and it's been a repeated cycle where you haven't been able to reach forward any further to obtain and reach out and grab what was promised to you and what your destiny is, but yet you are also still connected to your past. And as long as you're connected to your past, you're never going to reach your future. And so there has to be that eventually that separation, and that will happen when your faith arises, when it rises up. And so we know from that story with the Red Sea that they went into inheritance, and they went into a place of promise. Friends, you have to have a faith to believe that God has an inheritance for you, that His promises will manifest for you, and not that it was only for some, or it's only for some that you worship with, and that somehow you're not entitled to it. I know that by simply being a child of the Most High God, that I have an inheritance. That for the promises of God, for the things that God has said in His Word, from cover to cover in this book, that it is for me. It's for me, it's for you, and I don't have to be of a certain economic status. You don't have to have a certain number of degrees. No, a number of degree that I have received has put me in a position to receive more than you. It may have increased knowledge. It may have taught me some more about the way God works or things like that. But I'll tell you this, when it comes down to it, that when you are a believer, a follower of Jesus Christ, friend, you're an inheritor of the things of God, just plain and simple. Hallelujah. So there is an anointing that's coming in this hour to push you into a place where you and I've never been. But in order to really receive and that anointing that's been released, we have to have a faith to receive it. We have to have and first believe that God has done so. We have to have an understanding of the anointing. We have to have an understanding of how God works. Now, I want to read a couple of scriptures to you out of Romans 5. And I'm going to read these out of the Amplified Version, something I usually don't do on the program because it tends to take a little bit more time. But they're powerful. They're really powerful. And so I want to read Romans chapter 5, verses 1. We'll just read the first couple of verses, and then you can certainly read them more on your own. But Romans 5, and it says in verse 1, "Therefore, since we are justified, acquitted, declared righteous, and giving a right standing with God through faith, let us grasp the fact that we have the peace of reconciliation, of holding and to enjoy peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. Through Him also we have our access or our entrance, introduction, by faith into this grace, a state of God's favor, in which we firmly and safely stand. And let us rejoice and exult in our hope of experiencing and enjoying the glory of God. Moreover, let us also be full of joy now. Let us exult and triumph in our troubles and rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that pressure and affliction and hardship produce patience and unswerving endurance. And endurance, fortitude, develops maturity of character, approved faith, and tried integrity. And character of this sort produces the habit of joyful and confident hope of eternal salvation. Such hope never disappoints or deludes or shames us, for God's favor has been poured out in our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us." Now, we could read on from there, but I'll pause there for a few moments, because if we really showed who we are and what grace and mercy really reached down and pulled out of you and I believe that we're in a time where we have to really be able to let it be seen that what and how God has really changed us, that it was the faith in your life, it was you believing in God, it was you realizing that you could not do it on your own, and how it transformed our lives. It's essential for you and I reaching others and our faith building. I know often my faith is increased by watching what God's doing in someone else's life, sometimes through what He's done in mine. Because, see, faith gives access. Faith really gives access. It's a it's a faith allows entry to so many other things into her life. It allows entry for me to receive the promises of God, for me to receive a move of God, the vast ways in which God can operate in our life. So hear the word of the Lord. The enemy, we have to realize, is not after you and I as individuals. It's not that he's after me, Adam. He's after our faith. He's after what is within me. He's after my faith. He's after those things that can do damage to his kingdom. And so the enemy wants to really ruin our faith. He comes to steal, kill, and to destroy, yes. But ultimately, as he steals, kills, and destroys, he's after to take our faith. Because without faith, our relationships become weaker, right? Everything around us begins to become weak. And so he wants to debilitate our ability. Think about that. To debilitate our ability to call those things that are not, to shift an atmosphere. He wants to change all of that. He wants us to keep us from being able to speak to those things that are not and calling them something different. He wants to keep our faith limited so that I don't take the word of God and believe that what is in it is for me. And so the pressures of life often he'll use to switch and get us to think differently and to think more carnal than anything, and rather than standing in faith or being men and women who operate in the Spirit. See, the Bible says that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now, we quote that scripture so often, and we quote it in a manner and so quickly, I think, that we don't grasp something really key in it. It says, I can do all things. You can quote that for yourself. I can do all things through Christ. Now, I can do all things through, when you say the word through, it indicates a relationship. The only way I'm able to do all things is because of Christ. And so the only way that what Christ has done and what from the Word of God, but I'm able to do all things is through Christ, through my relationship with Him. And so the enemy comes to pollute our lives. He comes to, as I said a moment ago, debilitate our ability, debilitate our abilities. So he comes to weaken our relationship with God. He comes to weaken our relationship with others. So I can do all things through Christ, through my relationship with him. All right? So the enemy comes to try to weaken that relationship, destroy it, distort it, cause us to believe things about our relationship with God that aren't really there, make us to think that God is not for us, or that God is not going to bring forth for us, that he's not going to deliver us, that we won't be healed, that everyone else got healed and we didn't, and so on and so forth. So the enemy tries to weaken that relationship. He tries to do it many times through our mind, through our thoughts. And again, as I said last week, that a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. And so to be unstable, there's a constant fluctuation of our faith, meaning that on Sunday I can be strong in the Lord, but by Monday I'm a little weaker because, well, it's Monday and I'm operating in my flesh. And there can be various ins and outs, and that we're moving in and out of faith constantly. So a person who is inconsistent in everything has constant fluctuation between our flesh and our faith. And so therefore it'll cause a weakness. Now, I've said that God desires that our faith is ever increasing, and if it's not increasing, then it's decreasing. And so the enemy will often work against our faith. He's after our faith. Because the whole basis for you and I to be saved, sanctified, Holy Ghost filled, is on faith. And so the enemy attacks our faith. And by attacking our faith, he weakens everything else. And so I have now this fluctuation of faith and my flesh. Hallelujah. Now, if you look into Luke 22, and there's a couple of verses there, and it talks about to be sifted as wheat. All right. When it brings forth those words, and it's talking about the sifting as wheat, it's talking about inwardly being agitated. So to sift wheat, they would use a mechanism that would do just that. It would agitate the wheat and separate the wheat itself. And so there becomes that agitation within you and I, that part of our life, or through circumstances, relationships specifically. Like we said, that our relationship with God, that we're able to do all things through Christ. So if the enemy is able to agitate our relationship with God, we can easily become sifted, all right? Easily become separated from God if he can begin to work on that relationship. One of the key ways the enemy works on your relationship with God is messing with your relationships with God's people. We know that our God is a relational God, that everything he does and builds our life through relationship. If you would call the Bible anything, it's a book of relationships. That's one of the most important things to understand about the Bible is to read it and have the understanding that it's a book of relationships. And so the enemy comes and he tries to attack our relationships, all right? Because, see, God knows, all right? God knows that there are going to come times in our lives that we're going to fail as a believer. No matter who you are, no matter how strong of a person in faith you are, there are just simply times where we're going to fail, we're going to mess up, we're going to lose it. And so what God is really wanting you and I to grasp from his word is he's saying, look, Adam, I know that, Adam, you're going to fail. I know that there's going to come a time where you're going to fail. You're going to fail me. But I pray the faith in you will not. And so, Adam, while you might fail, I pray that the faith that is inward, that is inside of you, will not fail. See, that's important for us to have an understanding, that realizing that God loves you and I enough and that he has given us an understanding of his word, where literally he says, look, Adam, you are flesh, and there is a part of you that's flesh, so you're going to fail, but I pray the faith in you is not going to fail. I pray that what is with inside of you is not going to fail. I pray that you've developed yourself enough to where you're not going to waver, that you're going to make a bad decision, you're going to make a bad choice, but you yourself will not fail. Hallelujah. But that, as Ephesians 6, verse 13 says, having done all, stand, therefore, that whatever the enemy does, whatever pressure he brings in our life, that there will be issues, there will be those circumstances, but in and through it all, that I'll continue to stand and remain steadfast in him. Now, I want us to just run back to Hebrews chapter 11. And, of course, these are familiar scriptures to us, but as we know, Hebrews 11 is a chapter of faith. And so I want us to take a look at this, because there's a couple things I want to point out to you in this couple verses, all right? So Hebrews chapter 11, we're just going to look at the first couple of verses, and it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. Verse 4, by faith Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it being dead still speaks. By faith Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death, and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony, that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Now, we'll pause there just for a moment. Now, if we were to take and look at those couple of verses from 1 through 6, and we were to really summarize it, here's what my interpretation of that summarization would be. All right. Now, my total trust is on the foundation of what I expect to possess. Before I say any more, let me say that again. My total trust is the foundation of what I expect to possess and am looking for. It is the proof of power to remove doubt. It is the proof of power to remove doubt. He has the ability to remove doubt. So faith is total trust, all right? Faith is exactly total trust. So total trust is the foundation of what I expect. My faith, my total trust is the foundation of what I expect to possess and am looking for. So I have a total trust from God's word, and I'm looking for, I'm expecting to possess what God's word has to say. So I'm looking for, and the proof of power to remove doubt. So my faith has the ability, it has the proof to remove doubt. Just by being a men and women of faith, your faith possesses the power to remove doubt. Because I believe God's word enough, because I believe his word is truth, and because his word brings forth and develops and raises up a total trust within me, I now possess the power to remove doubt. God's word has the power. God's word possesses and drives doubt out of my life. Hallelujah. So If I was to, let me put it this way, that your total trust, your faith is believing that, and what I said earlier, that God says, look at him, I know that you're going to fail, but I pray, but I pray that your faith will not. It's you and I having an understanding and belief that, knowing that there'll be times we'll fail, there'll be times we'll fall, but that it's as if God will catch us. It's as if God is always behind us, catching us, and saying, you know, I know you're going to fall, I know you're going to fail at times, but I'm going to catch you, and it's you and I trusting that he will, trusting that he will catch us in life, all right? Hallelujah. So anything that looks like it's falling is because it needs to be really shaken out of our life. There were things sometimes as we walk in our life, and in your life right now, that I believe that God desired us to really discuss faith, because in this time, there's a lot of things that are falling out of people's lives. And if it's falling out of your life, I have to believe that God desired it to be shaken. Not that it will never be returned, not that it will never be restored, but that God, when things begin to fall out or be shaken in our life, it's because there needed to be a shaking. It's because they needed to be situated in our life, all right, because so that we can maintain and obtain a life full of faith. Because until you and I fully trust, you and I cannot fully agree. And so there were sometimes hindrances and things in our life that hinders me trusting God. I've had relationships, and not anything more than sometimes just different friendships and acquaintances in life, that God has shook out of my life because it hindered, and I can look back now and I can see how they hindered me trusting God. They hindered me fully having faith in God because of the influence sometimes that they had, or because of their belief and those sort of things. So until you and I fully trust, you and I cannot fully agree. Remember, the Bible says that without faith, it's impossible to please God. So God is not going to hurt us. God is not going to drop us. God is not going to abandon us. We have to know that, according to his word, that we have to trust God, that he'll carry us, that literally he holds us in the palm of his hand, that he loves us. And the Bible goes on and on and gives many different ways of describing his faithfulness to us, that he's a refuge, a strength, a tower, a help. He's our source of our strength. He's our healer, our deliverer, all of these things. And so you and I've got to believe that God's not going to drop us, God's not going to abandon us, but he is going to stay with us. And so until you and I fully trust, we cannot fully agree. All right? And we're going to talk about that agreement more here in a moment, because it's essential. It's essential for us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So in order to be fully agreeable, all right, we have to, when we are fully agreeable, we please God. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. So in order to please God, it's me being fully agreeable, all right? Now, the word agreeable means evos, which really represents e meaning woman, vos meaning fit for purpose. So meaning that you and I are fit for purpose, that there is, God has placed within us, God has made it that when I am agreeable with him, when I am fully agreeable with him, I please him. But not just that I please him, but because now, out of my agreement, I've pleased God. Now he enables me to be fit for purpose. Now I'm enabled and fit for the purpose that I have here on this earth. See, I love that, and that God responds to our faith. And that's what we've said before, that God, when he sees faith, God acts upon that faith. When God sees that I have faith believing to be healed, or faith to believe that I'll be delivered, any of those things, God responds to faith. How does he respond? By fitting us for purpose. I have a purpose, and I have a design, and I have a destiny for this life. And so God fits me for that as he sees faith. Hallelujah. So we are, when we please God, we're fully agreeable. So I'm fully agreeable. I'm fit for purpose. Hallelujah. Meaning that you're equipped to do the task that's ahead of you. You're equipped to do what God has destined you to do. He has enabled you, equipped you to do what is set before you. So when the task looks difficult, and when it seems like the pressure is intense, you've got to know that it's literally as if God has fit you for it. He has equipped you. He's given you all the resources. He's made you to be ready for what is ahead of you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Bible says even in Amos 3:3, how can any two be together unless they agree? How can you and I walk together? How can those in a marriage walk together unless they agree? So there has to be agreement. God is a God that there's the power of agreement. It does great things for you. just by being in agreement, just by totally trusting in God's word. See, he releases my inheritance. He releases his promises to me because I'm in agreement with his word. Hallelujah. So what God joined or what God agreed upon, all right, together, is let no man put asunder. That word, we have to understand, we hear it a lot through weddings, but what God joined together, or what God agreed upon, let no man put it under. Why? Because it's an agreement with God. God has his hand upon it. And so God recognizes that agreement. God rewards that agreement. God acknowledges that covenant. So see, God's covenant or his agreement is important to him. And so God will always protect that. Your covenant with God, your agreement with God, God always will protect that. Hallelujah. So if you stand in agreement with God, you stand in alignment. Therefore, it will come to pass. Hallelujah. So I'm in agreement with God's word. I read his word. We were reading there in Romans today. We were reading in Hebrews. And I understand that my faith pleases God. I understand that it puts me in a place of agreement. And so therefore, my agreement puts me in alignment to receive. As I spoke about a couple of weeks ago, that we're in that position now to receive. That agreement allows me to be in communication and understanding with God. To where now I'm in a position to receive fully from God. That I just don't read it, but now I'm receiving it. See, faith carries you from glory to glory. Faith takes you and I from one place to another in God. Faith will allow me to grow in Him. So why should we let anyone or anything distract you and I or take us off our track? To be distracted means to take us off our track. And the enemy comes to try to distract you. He comes to try to distract your faith, to get you to look elsewhere, to get you to not pay attention to the real thing that is in front of you. Hallelujah. So there's a power of agreement, and the enemy wants to disrupt that power of agreement. Because above all, the enemy, Lucifer, we know he understands God, his word. The enemy understands the power that comes with when we are in agreement. And so he wants to disrupt that. He wants to disrupt that truth because there's a power of agreement, and truth is established in that agreement. All right, truth is established. There's power in the agreement itself, and there's no truth without agreement. So I'm not able to walk out truth in my life without the agreement of God and his word in my life. Friend, there's so much even with that that I really can't wait to share with you more on. But friend, we're running out of time today. But I want you to be encouraged and know that your faith is being increased and built. So hold on, hang on, until I see you next week. I pray fire of God consumes your life. Goodbye, friend.